morning, honorable members. Good morning to our guests. You are all welcome. Because today is our first interaction with the department in a regular or normal committee meeting, especially for myself, I will introduce myself. My name is Lungi Mnganga Qabashe, the chairperson of the Public Enterprises Committee, Portfolio Committee. I have already welcomed everybody, and a special warm welcome to you, Minister. As I've indicated, this is my first time interacting with you since in a normal or regular meeting of the Portfolio Committee. I hope all of us, we had a good rest during the recess or holidays, festive season, and we are all energetic to keep the ball rolling for our work of in Parliament and in public entities of government and as members of the Portfolio Committee. And with those words, thank you very much. In our program today, our agenda, any apologies?
The apologies I've received is from Mr. Gordon and Mr. Kwankwa and Mr. Singh. Yeah, and Mr. Singh, I think they'll be going to be late.
I'm aware of other two members, if I'm not mistaken, whom this day coincide with their other Portfolio Committee. Yes?
Just to say that the Deputy Minister did also send a formal apology, and the ESCOM have also sent a letter that they are releasing their financial results today, and Transnet, I think they are having a boss barrage today, that they've also sent a formal apology that they won't be able to join us.
Honorable Swartz is going to arrive a little bit late. Honorable Minister?
I think we have someone present here, the GM in Transnet. The Transnet board, and they have a lukutla this last couple of days. So, but we've got somebody present here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, I trust that all of us received the agenda in time. Can I get an indication that we all have the same understanding of the agenda today? Thank you very much. Our meeting today, as we all have received the agenda and the purpose of the meeting, we are meeting with the minister and the department and the chairpersons of both of our entities, and in that order, I'm going to allow the minister to make an introduction and then lead us on the introductory remarks.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, of the media, good morning. We are grateful for this opportunity to update you on some of the governance-related issues affecting state-owned companies in the DPE portfolio. Following my opening remarks, the DPE presentation will be led by the DG, Mr. Mohokare Sleke. Let me begin by expressing my great relief that the Judicial Commission into alleged impropriety at state-owned companies is coming to fruition, while our law enforcement agencies appear to be making progress with the investigations too. As I have said many times last year, the only way to get to the bottom of the swirl of allegations of malfeasance and to restore public and investor confidence in our stocks is to diligently investigate them. In addition, I have asked President Zuma to fast-track the proclamation of the SIU investigation I requested into contract management and procurement at both Eskom and at Transnet. This investigation will tie up loose ends left behind by a series of investigations commissioned by Eskom boards, provide the present administration with critical knowledge to empower procurement reform, and further propel confidence in the companies. Ladies and gentlemen, while the mandate of our SOCs remain to drive industrialization and economic growth necessary to address high levels of inequality in our society, in the constrained economic environment, government is continuing the program of fiscal prudence and consolidation. The expectation is that all financial instruments, including government guarantees with loan conditions, will be managed in such a manner that no debt defaults will occur. The boards at all of our SOCs are on high alert to mitigate negative impacts on the entities' ratings and consequently the sovereign rating. In spite of a new board being appointed at Eskom, Moody's has just downgraded the utility, citing its deteriorating liquidity position and the ability of government to provide direct equity support. That's the reality of the environment we're in. We remain resolute in our efforts to turn the company around, and Eskom is already seeing investors and lenders reviving their engagements and commitments to the company. Eskom will today announce its 2017-18 midterm results, and of course that's why they are not present here today. Chairperson, allow me to also add that the new Eskom board was legally constituted in terms of the company's memorandum of incorporation and charged with systematically addressing the governance, leadership, operational and financial challenges it is facing. As we are talking, the Eskom will be announcing their midterm financial results in the course of this morning. The message to the boards of all SOCs is that they must shape up or ship up out. If they are unable to instill confidence in their management and oversight responsibilities, they will be rotated. The department is presently vetting applicants and nominees for the new Denel board. The process to rotate board members of the other SOCs is also underway. With regard to the contestation around the audit opinion of Denel's 2017 integrated report, the company, the department, and the AG are working together to reach a solution. Chairperson, a major departmental priority this year is to address the root causes for the regression in audit outcomes through, amongst others, implementing performance management measures linking bonus payments of executives to audit outcomes, ensuring that board members collectively possess the requisite skills and capacity to provide effective leadership to the state-owned companies, and fast-tracking the development of the shareholder management bill. The department has devised an enhanced set of oversight practices and platforms for regular engagements such as DPE SOC Risk Governance Forum. The DG will take the meeting through the risk reporting framework that is already in place. Work is underway to develop an outcomes-based shareholder risk management framework to collaboratively mitigate systemic risks that can affect SOC's ability to meaningfully contribute to government's objectives. Last year, Cabinet approved the implementation of the new guide for SOC remuneration and incentives for executives, prescribed officers, and non-executive directors, It's called the Remuneration Guide. This year, the IMC on Remuneration will meet to begin its work in this regard. A set of guiding principles linked to performance will be rolled out for application by all government departments who exercise shareholder oversight of commercial public entities. Informed by the report and recommendations of the Presidential Review Committee on SOEs, the first draft of the government shareholder management policy paper was prepared and submitted to Cabinet in November 2016. The second draft paper was presented to the IMC on SOC reform last April. This year, with our colleagues in the IMC and Economic Cluster, we will work to ensure that the bill comes before Parliament, subject to Cabinet's approval, of course. Progress can also be reported as part of the SOC reform process on finalizing a guide for the appointment of persons to boards of state and state-controlled institutions. The development of the guide is led by the Minister of Public Service and Administration with the support of the IMC. In the medium term, the consultation with relevant ministers and cabinet as a whole, the process of filling vacancies at board level continues. The boards are under instruction to fill vacancies at executive management level urgently. Chair, before handing over to the DG, a word or two about SOC's reporting in general and SA Express in particular. For the 2016-17 financial year, all the state-owned companies, except for SA Express, complied and tabled annual reports in Parliament. The department has been working closely with SA Express and the AG South Africa to finalise and table its report as a matter of urgency. To strengthen SA Express in the short term, the DPE and airline have agreed to second the department's DDG, Legal and Governance, Ms. Matsi Mukholo, whom you all know, to act as CEO in the short term of SA Express. In the medium term, as you know, discussions are taking place in the context of the SOC reform process to create an optimal corporate structure for the state airlines. Chairperson, with your permission, I now would like to hand over to the DG to take the committee through the detail of the presentation. Thank you. Chair, I was wondering if, I arrived at 9:25 and you started already. But I was wondering if we should just get a who's in the house.
If I indicated, I think you maybe you did not get that the minister will introduce the board and everyone that is accompanied by minister. The my watch was set up by the parliamentary IT personnel. So I trust, I indicated earlier on that I trust my watch, because when I check the news on TV channels, it's exactly like it was, mine was set. So I trust it that it's 9:30. You look at your news in the morning, my watch is exactly like that time. Thank you very much. You may proceed, Minister. With the introduction of the board members before the DG comes in.
Chair, I wonder if it's the CE or acting CE and chair of the board, unless otherwise. So maybe we should start with Matsi, since I ended with her.
Thank you, Minister. Good morning, Chairperson and committee members, colleagues from state-owned companies, and the media. My name is Mati Yesimuholo. I'm seconded to South African Express as the acting CEO, but with the Department of Public Enterprises as a DDG responsible for legal governance and risk.
Morning, Chair. My name is Trevor Evans. Good morning to the Minister, members, and our colleagues from the other SOEs. I'm a member of the SA Express Board. I am here in the capacity representing the chairperson. Mr. George Mutema, who is unfortunately not available here today.
Good morning, Chairperson, and honorable ministers and members. My name is Rukisani Daniel Mancha, currently chairing the DINEL board.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members of the Portfolio Committee, honorable. And good morning to everybody, and good morning to our ministers, and good morning to the DG. My name is Zwelakhe Ntshepe. I'm the chief executive for DINEL. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, committee members, the minister, and my colleagues from other SOCs. My name is Otto Mshwana. I'm the CFO for DINEL. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, Portfolio Committee, and all state-owned company colleagues. My name is Atila Chowen from Alex Gore, CFO.
Good morning, Chair, the Minister, the DDG, and my other colleagues from other SOE. My name is Lemohan Pizwe, CEO of Alexco. Thank you.
Morning, Chair, and morning, honorable members. Morning to my colleagues. My name is Hansi Matsike. I'm the chairperson of Alexco.
Any other board members that have not been introduced or introduce themselves? Please proceed.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Portfolio Committee members, DG, and colleagues from the SOCs. My name is Tsepo Mulaheng, CEO of SAFCO. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Good morning to the Minister, my colleagues from SOCs, as well as members of the media. My name is Lungile Mapeke. I'm the chairperson of SAFCO.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Minister and DG and my colleagues from other SOCs. My name is Vuyo Tlale. I am currently the acting chief financial officer of SAFCO, seconded from the department.
Morning, Chair. My name is Mark Craig McDonald, Group Executive Business Services at Transnet.
Good morning. I'm Khatato Tlakudi. I'm the DDG in DPE.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson in the House. My name is Lebohan Gambe. I'm from Public Enterprises.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Ngululo Ngalo, Minister of Public Enterprises.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Mfuzo Zenzile, Department of Public Enterprises from the Deputy Minister's Office.
Good morning, Chair, Members of Parliament. My name is Mphosi Lepe. I'm the acting CFO, SA Express.
Thank you very much. The members of your department, DG, they've done your work. They've already introduced themselves. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and the Honorable Members. Good morning. My name is Mohokare Sileke, Director General of the Department. As requested by the Minister, I'll take the committee through a quick presentation. I would touch specifically, I think, on the four areas which looks at the government practices and the summarized issue.
Sorry for disturbing the DG, Chair, but I want to raise a concern. The presentation that we got from the department is upside down. It starts, the numbers are not following the sequence. As a result, it was very difficult for us to read it over yesterday for the whole day. because it has these discrepancies that it has. I just want the department to take note of that and the department take it upon themselves to correct it for the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Ranto. I hope DG has noted that.
Okay. Well, I'll note that, Chairperson. I would look at the governance practice and guidelines and also the indicators that we look at to measure governance and leadership. I'll also look at the overall audit outcomes as the end of the financial year and the risk oversight. This table shows a cycle that guides our planning system, which looks at, if you look at that cycle, it shows at the top the consultations at national government level that we undertake that guides our planning systems. And then as you go on the right, going down, you look at September, that the date I would bring to your attention, where we then interact with our state-owned companies to finalize the shareholder compacts, which indicates the focus areas for them in the impending financial year.
If we could just pause, DG. Members, I'm told the others on the left-hand side, they're still working on the system. Can we just focus on our rights? Otherwise, we do have our notes. Can we proceed while that is being sorted out? Shall we? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And then February, we look at the corporate plans, and as the cycle continues, we have quarterly monitoring reports that we analyze and take through to the minister, which sources out the quarterly issues that requires immediate attention. And in around June, September, in our calendar, we look at the AGMs, annual general meetings of the state-owned companies. I think AGMs looks also at the annual reports. It looks at the rotation of board members, among other things. And then on the upper level, it's a reporting cycle to Parliament. So that's a system that guides our planning system. And the next slide, we have summarized a flow per company year on year from financial year 2016 and 17, where we are looking at the vacancies, critical vacancies in the state-owned companies. And if you look at SA Express, you'd realize that in this current financial year, the position of the CEO and the CFO are still vacant. The minister has already announced the secondment of Ms. Mokolo to fill into that particular position. And you look at Eskom, both the CEO and the CFO are also vacant. And it has been popularly reported Mr. Pakamani Hadebe and Mr. Mabuza acting on those positions. Oh, Mr. Mabuza is confirmed. And Alexco, the CEO and the CFO has been filled. They are present here today. Similarly with Dinel. Safcol, the CFO post is still vacant, but it's at an advanced stage of being filled. And I think that's the summary that gives an indication of the current status. But the processes for the filling of these particular positions are continuing as per the regulations. And Chair, the next slide on the summary. Furthermore, we looked at deeply the breakdown in terms of the management of the state-owned companies. According to our report, you would realize the distribution in terms of race, in terms of gender, if you look at the totality of our state-owned companies at the leadership level, you would realize that the female's participation at that level is still very minimal. I think that's something that requires our attention going forward. The details, I think you have read in terms of the specific names. I've summarized that part also. If I move directly to slide number 8, in terms of SAFCOL board, the evaluation was conducted. This is what we do on the annual basis, where there's an independent evaluation of the board in terms of specific areas of the performance of individuals in the board. And that also guides the minister in terms of making decisions for rotation. According to our report, the evaluation has indeed been conducted by an independent service provider, and they have scored a cumulative rate of 5.82 in its performance, which is considered to be better than acceptable. However, the number of items per team have been identified as areas that are still needing improvement. And generally, the chairperson of the board takes it upon themselves also to make sure that there's continuous improvement within themselves in the board. The decision that was taken, though, was that we would no longer allow the boards to appoint the service providers themselves. We would appoint the service providers in the department and ensure that the evaluation is completely independent away from themselves. I have already indicated the members who are here today, Mr. Leboham Bijwe and Ms. Andilat Kohan. They are actually new in their positions and they have already introduced themselves. And the distribution also is summarized for that particular board. Now, the issues I identified around the Alexco board is that the quality of the service being provided by the company that was outsourced, particularly the secretariat function, as well as the recent AGM. But the department has intervened, and the intervention somehow, I think we are in the process of rectifying some of the challenges that were there. But we are working very closely with the chairperson to ensure that whatever challenges that were identified are resolved. We've come to realize that if there's one specific board, however small, because of the challenges of Alexco, it is one that provides better hope because of the work that they do. It's a very unique company that is directly interfaced with service delivery, and the challenges that they face, most of them do reach Parliament, I think, on a continuous basis at Alexander Bay issues. And this board has actively been participant in resolving those issues. And I think I needed to highlight that as an issue over and above the administrative issues that we identified. Transnet board, uh, following the resignation, there are about three non-executive directors that became vacant. And the process of filling that position, those positions of the board is underway. And internally, as we have reiterated, there's an internal process that we follow where we advertise and the processes for filling the position is done fairly and openly. And the advertisement to solicit candidates for DPE database was issued on the 23rd of August. And potential candidates have been identified from the database, and also the necessary verification has been undertaken. And this was as a result of the resignation by Mr. Stegman and Mr. Stanley Shane. And the board needed to be regularized urgently to meet the provisions of the memorandum of incorporation in terms of the minimum number of directors. Hence the minister's appointment of the two chartered accountant skills, which are also subject to cabinet approval. And the gaps that are still outstanding there are identified to be in transport logistics and engineering. I think these are the areas that require immediate attention. Eskom board, the minister's presentation have outlined that the resignation of Mr. Anoj on the 22nd of January, and the board has been tasked urgently to undertake the recruitment process of the group company CFO. At the moment, the new chairperson and the CEO are already on board, and the new board has been appointed on the 19th of January 2018. Currently, they have no vacancies. With SA Express, I've already highlighted the vacancies around the group CEO and the group CFO. And the department is currently in the process of filling the vacancies on the board to ensure that the board is adequately and suitably capacitated with board members who possess necessary and skills, knowledge, and expertise. The newspaper advertisement to solicit potential candidates was issued on the same day of 23rd of August 2017. And the urgent recruitment process for the CEO and CFO is to be undertaken. And I think it's important for me to highlight that the company had not succeeded in tabling its results, I'm saying in annual report in the last financial years, due to the challenges that were known of going concern. And we've worked very hard towards the end of the year to resolve the issue, the financial challenges that we're facing the company. And we can comfortably say that the company is in the right direction going forward. And hence, this summary report. And the broader challenges on the overall can be highlighted that the leadership instability has been addressed through the filling of vacancies, particularly the CEO and CFOs. We're looking at reviewing the memorandum of incorporation to can improve on areas that could have let us down in the last financial year. And also to revise and submit the delegation of authority frameworks across ESCOM to minimize the risk and eliminate key man dependencies. implementation of consequence management across SOCs is emphasized. And also further to align the SOCs with the guide on remuneration and incentives approved by cabinet and as issued by the minister. And lastly, to ensure proper and timely compliance through adherence to reporting and communication protocols. The summary of the audit outcomes at the moment, Denel and Transnet have unqualified findings. Alexco was financially unqualified but modified, and Safcol was qualified for the first time in a long time. And SA Express, also their issues are highlighted earlier, and Eskom was also financially qualified. And in summary, all have successfully complied with the PFMA and tabled their annual report except for SA Express. They've all held their AGMs, if I take out SA Express, and there's relatively low levels of operational efficiencies resulting in high wastage, and we have also identified that the limited functional and managerial skills required, often highly complex environment, because of the nature of their business, I think high levels of skills are needed in those environments. And there's also a challenge of ineffective performance management measures. And those are the areas that we have put on our radar to work closely with SOCs to make sure that they are addressed. In terms of broader risk factors, the risk of financial sustainability ranks number one, and in as far as Eskom is concerned, Transnet and Safcol, the areas identified are lack of adequate prices, tariff, which automatically results revenue challenges, and the impact and consequences also is that it does have a contribution to negative impact of the credit ratings, which results into also the challenges in securing funding and also the increased cost of debt. Inadequate working capital and cash flow management is another factor, which also in the end contributes to weak balance sheets. And this one, these two issues cut across all state-owned companies. Governance and reputational risk also ranks the second, which automatically means that we need effective boards. It's a factor, compliance to regulations and prescripts, and leadership in general in the state-owned companies. And what it does, it creates challenges around investors and also turnaround strategies. I think one issue that we omitted to put here also is that with a weak economy as ours, there's actually a need to approach things a little bit differently. I think it's an important issue to highlight. The issue of corruption has been highlighted, and it's purely because of non-compliance with the regulations or inadequate compliance to procurement practices, which also talks to issues of wasteful expenditures and trust and confidence in general in public. But those are the response mechanisms Minister has highlighted, the SIU investigations that are looking into these matters, and also another response mechanism is funding support to SOCs, the review and the reduction of operating costs, rotation of the boards and filling of the vacancies. So those are the things that we have already primarily reported to give you a full 360 overview of the situation. What are other continuous improvements that we are embarking on at the governance level? We have established platforms for chairpersons forum where the minister continuously interacts with the board chairpersons to ensure that key issues are dealt with very closely, to share best practices, to respond to issues as they emanate. We have also put one together, the forum for company secretaries, so that also the minuting processes, the record keeping is standardized across the board. The DGCEO forum and the CFO forum, which also gives us an opportunity to promptly deal with issues, particularly funding challenges, as they are the main issues that have been coming through, the balance sheet issues, the going concern issues. And we closely also working with National Treasury, I think for some time now, where we're looking at how the Chief Procurement Office can closely look at the procurement systems in state-owned companies and ensure that a lot of things are not dealt with at the tail end, particularly for big procurements. And I think we've made strides so far. There has been other many instances where we refer certain matters to them, and we've managed to resolve them jointly without second-guessing each other. And the standard ones that we've been having all along is the quarterly reports and the annual reports that we share actively with the committee. We're looking also at ensuring that induction and ongoing training of boards and executives, including company secretaries, is adhered to. We have already working on a plan of induction of the new boards. We're hoping that the ESCOM board one would actively start this week, but because of other plans that are in place, we will fast track it as at any new opportune time. And lastly, the CEO performance agreement, linking that with the compact, the shareholder compact, to make sure that there's value for money in as far as the performance is concerned. I think on a broader level, we have shared with the committee before that the minister is driving the state-owned company reform process, and part and parcel of the successes that has come out of this process, it includes the remuneration guidelines that are implemented across government for state-owned companies and the incentives guidelines. And there are many other initiatives that will look into establishing very strict governance measures, but over and above that, to ensure that the state-owned companies are enablers to grow the economy. And we, in our the target for the current financial year is to make sure that the shareholder management bill is fast-tracked, because it will not only benefit the state-owned companies in the stable of public enterprises, but state-owned companies across government. So that's the deliverable, I think, for the minister and this committee for this financial year. Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you very much, Minister and the DG. Before I allow members to raise questions of clarity and making comments, I would allow for additions on the briefing by the DG, if there are any. Departmental colleagues? None. And SOEs, CEOs, and CFOs, any addition? None. Thank you very much. Honorable Minister, you reported on the non-attendance of ESCOM. We did not even ourselves, the portfolio committee, not expect them to be in this meeting because of the new developments that have taken place of the newly elected board and the appointment of an acting CEO. And on that note, let me formally welcome the intervention made by the government recently for the new appointment of ESCOM board and its chairperson, and the appointment of the acting the CEO, hoping that we'll see the better result going forward. But as a committee, I think you've already maybe heard and see on the program that we decided that we're going to visit ESCOM on Thursday, as this week is an oversight week for committees of parliament. But also I would like to indicate so that in future we don't clash on days of the meeting. The Wednesdays remain as the days of our meetings. Today we take the opportunity of being an oversight week and utilize it to have a meeting and it was approved. So in future, we'll go back to our normal day of meetings on Wednesday. Thank you very much. Can I now take hands from members? What is that? Honorable Ranto, Honorable Mazzoni, Honorable Dlamini, Honorable Nyenge, Honorable Swart, is your hand up? Honorable Swart, Honorable Mare, Honorable Nobanda, Honorable Tseri, I'll separate you to the last two as we go along, but I've noted you. Yes, I've noted you. In that order, members, time now is quarter past 10:15.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, DGs, and the board members, officials from the SOCs. Good morning and Happy New Year. Chair, I just want to take the department back to the recommendations that were made by the portfolio committee on the BRRR reports of last year. I would wish that the minister, the DG, and everybody else goes back to those recommendations that we have made and reconsider them. That's my first concern that I want to raise. And also, if there are recommendations made by the committee that are not implementable, let the committee know that those recommendations are not implementable. And maybe according to certain shareholder laws or shareholder compacts, they are not implementable, because we make recommendations to the department, and some recommendations, I know there are recommendations from 2016-17 that has not been implemented, or the department has not considered them, maybe, or they will consider them later. I think we need to be updated. We once asked for a meeting, that a quarterly meeting, so that we don't leave things unattended for a long time. And I so wish this year those quarterly meetings will materialize with the department and the entities and the portfolio committee. That was my concern that I want to raise. The DG just said to us, if I have heard him correctly, SAX is in a good state going forward. DG, SAX last year or a year before last came to the committee. Last year, it came to the committee with a turnaround strategy that was so wonderful. Everybody in the committee was actually taken up by that strategy. I was chairing the committee then. I said to the committee members, do not get excited, because I know that the disappointments that come with the good strategies that are coming up with especially with SAX, even before the former acting CEO. The former CEO, which is Ms. Ntshanga, we had a very good turnaround strategy with him that was presented. It was never implemented, or it was implemented but it never worked. So we had, last year we also had that the same thing from the former acting CEO. I hope this acting CEO that we have now will look at those turnaround strategies and see what went wrong, because still up to date we did not get the never submitted their 2016-17 annual report, and there is a reason that has been said. But to me, I take it, if there is a format or a plan in any company that is set at the beginning of the year and you follow that plan, knowing very well that the plan will work, you follow that plan up to its end, and you know the dates of the Auditor General when you are supposed to submit the if they fall under your plan as a CEO or as a company, you therefore follow them. I don't know what went wrong there in SAX. The ESCOM, the governance within ESCOM, DG, the PFMA has been there for a long time. The Companies Act has been there for a long time. What is the problem of us as government not being able to work through those documents and to get the company to do what it is supposed to do according to those documents? And what is the department doing if an entity does not comply? Your entities that are under you do not comply according to those two documents. What are you doing? The issue of the municipal debt at Eskom, it has been an issue for a long time, and I know maybe the municipalities are not responding as according to the resolution taken by Eskom or as according to what the resolution taken between the two, the Eskom and the municipalities. But I so wish that Eskom could consider the fact that there are municipalities that do not have a revenue base. That for them it's very difficult to raise money. During December there was a disconnection in some municipalities, and I see that Soweto is the most owing, the largest. It has the largest debt. I just wish to get clarity on how are they paying their debt. Are they paying the debt? Are they sticking to their agreements or not? Because if they not, then they should be treated as the same municipalities that are not paying their debt. On Tinel issue, the AG reported that Tinel has printed an incorrect version of the audit opinion in 2016 and 17. And they never changed the version of their report, and or refused to correct the audit opinion. As they said, they said they have already presented their financial statement to their stakeholders. Does that mean, DG, they should remain with the wrong audit report that they have? And actually, we should accept the wrongdoing that they have done, and because they have already given the stakeholders and do not consider what they should have done or the report that they should have given to AG. And is that not considered fraudulent? I think my last question would be on. On the issue of Alexco, every time Alexco reports, if I'm not mistaken, Alexco tell us about the 45 million that is set aside of the, what do you call it, for the Richtersveld community. I just want to check, where is this 45 million? Is it in a wardrobe somewhere? Is it in a bank? And that 45 million, does it not accumulate any interest? If there is any interest that it accumulates, if it's in a bank, not unless it is in a kist somewhere in somebody's house, if it accumulates interest, who takes the interest of that 45 million every month? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mazone.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, if we can start with asking the department about the presidential review. Some very important recommendations were made regarding the operations of our state-owned entities. Can we just find out how far we are in implementing, if we are in fact implementing any of these recommendations, and where we stand on that? Chairperson, can we also find out from the Department of Public Enterprises if anyone is on suspension currently, and if so, how long we can expect those suspensions to last? Chairperson, I'm going to leave ESCOM for now because we're going to speak to the new board. All I can say is certainly a very welcomed move that the broom swept clean. And certainly people in charge of ESCOM now that the country can have a lot more faith in to lead an entity of that size. Chair, in terms of the municipal debt, the Department of Public Enterprises has to step in and assist at a certain point as the stakeholder, both in ESCOM and in the department itself. I mean, this is what we do. We are catalysts for this kind of negotiation. Can we find out if the department has in fact stepped in and assisted in any negotiations with defaulting municipalities as the stakeholder of ESCOM? And does the municipality know who is currently at risk for the next cut-off and who has arranged payment? Chair, in terms of Transnet, we don't need to discuss the amount of dirty laundry that's been aired in the media recently. We are talking about billions and billions of rands that have perhaps been dealt with in a fraudulent manner. Has anyone at Transnet been suspended pending the outcome of an investigation? And Chair, has the financial tap at Transnet been turned off? In other words, even though they are under this cloud of possible infringement of many, many of our South African acts and certainly a cloud of state capture, is money still being poured out or has the department stepped in and turned the tap off? Chairperson, in terms of Denel, I find it almost amusing that the department says that Denel has had a good financial year. Chair, we were lied to blatantly in Parliament by being presented the false documents. I personally won't deal with Denel until such time as we have the correct financial statements. Has anyone in Denel been suspended because of this kind of activity? Chair, what is the Department of Public Enterprises doing to rectify the situation at Denel, if anything? And Chair, over December we learned through media reports again that Denel may have been unable to pay salaries. So can we please just get an indication of what the current financial situation at Denel is? Chair, in terms of South African Express Airways, I think that probably for me the most frightening aspect of it is, as Honourable Runto said, she did say don't get too excited, and I don't think any of us did. Chair, we were promised that there would be, in fact, the Minister promised us on the 8th of March 2017 that the annual general meeting for SA Express would occur soon. To date, unless I'm thoroughly mistaken, there has been no AGM. Could we please have a discussion about what's happening there and also what's happening with these short-term rental agreements that SA Express has where their costs are spiraling out of control because they're renting aeroplanes continuously? Chairperson, also environmental studies are showing that there is a slight problem, well, more than a slight problem, I think that's an under-exaggeration. Environmental problems, especially around the Alexander Bay area in the Northern Cape. Has Alex Corr been called in? Have the correct environmental impact studies been done? And is there any progress underway to rejuvenate the land that was practically destroyed as a result of over-mining in the area? Chair, SAFCOL, which is still overseeing IFLOMA, its Mozambique subsidiary, can we just have an update there? Are we still in that agreement? Will it be operational? Has it been implemented in the 2017-20 financial year? Because, you know, this is when it's got to start. Are the plans in place? And Chair, we know that it affects 57% of land that SAFCOL operates on, so we do need an update on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Dlamini.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Minister, when I look at the team that you brought here, They look believable, all of them. But when we get the results of these state-owned companies, I don't know what happens. All of you look believable. You look like men and women of integrity. But the results that we get, I think you must have those things called boss barat and go and sit there and just think what goes wrong. I don't know where the minister is going because I'm addressing it. Chairperson, can you intervene here? You see, this is an arrogant attitude that we get.
Just a second.
She can't do that. We are working here. I'm I'm addressing her and her own department, and she decides to walk. And this is the arrogance she's been displaying. Even last year, all the time when we deal with her, she comes late, she does what she needs. Things they need to change.
Earlier on, the minister...
She must not do that.
Earlier on, the minister did indicate that you would need to go in and out to the restroom. And I think nature does ask us to do that. And I would plead with us to allow her to, and the department will note, and your questions will be duly answered.
Then I'm going to wait for her because I want to address it. When she comes.
I'm not giving any break now. Please proceed. There is staff in the ministry here. They are taking notes. You are not addressing the minister. You are addressing the chairperson.
Addressing you?
Yes. At the meeting, you address the chairperson of the meeting.
So what is the minister doing here? If we're not, who's going to respond to my question?
She's going to respond because her support staff is here, is taking notes. When she comes back, is going to be given your questions. And I will see to it that your questions are being answered.
Okay, then they must be noted.
They are noted.
DG, since you are here, there's a new board at ESCOM. And you know, the problem that we are dealing with now. It's denial, I don't know what happened. Firstly, this board was appointed very quickly. Did we vet this board? Did we check all those members of the board? What is their proximity to politicians? Because one of the mess that we're facing with, especially at ESCOM, as well as Transnet, is where you find officials and board members with close proximity in politicians and getting orders from the politicians. Did you do that? Can you assure us that the board that we have, because we're going to do our own investigation, and we don't expect you or the minister, I'm glad she's back, and then you're going to tell us that I don't know, because that has been the story throughout, that I don't know, and we can't continue like that. Someone must take responsibility. So I need to get clarity that the current board, the new one, has it been vetted? Are they... Who appointed this board? And I would like to get an answer on that. Is it the minister or is some politicians in some dark corner that they said, no, this is the new board? Who appointed this board and what is their close proximity to them? Do they have relations with them in terms of business or anything else? That we need to know, so that we know exactly what we are dealing with. Because the minister is saying she's confident with the new board, but it's... That's why I'm saying the other team is believable, but the minister is not believable, because this is the same minister who sanctioned Molefe's return. It's the same minister who defended the pension of Brian Molefe. So I don't know what makes that she thinks we are that when she says she's confident is something that we must believe, but also the issue, minister, of the how do we put these boards, I think it's something that will convince in the committee, so that we can look at, maybe we need to come with a different approach. They're saying that says what got you here won't take you there. Maybe it's time that we look at how to consolidate, how to put these boards together. Because as things stand, there's no movement. That is why it's easy. Even with them, you just remove them, and none of them complains, because they know that even the way they were appointed was not the proper way. So, but I need just answers, because we're meeting that board on Thursday. So if there's something that you want to tell us in terms of their close proximity with politicians who appointed them, so that we know now, we don't want surprises, because we're going to come back here and it's going to be, it won't be nice, because that is the issues that we're dealing with. I think... And also, Minister, where are your external and internal auditors? I mean, when you get to a stage where, at the end of the financial year, the AG can say your finances, the whole year, were a mess, because when you got qualified financial audit, it means they're a mess. So what did you do with your internal and external auditors? Are you still keeping the same those same companies, because they failed you. Those are the people that were supposed to be helping you in terms of making sure that there is compliance in terms of financial reporting. Like the honorable other honorable members have said with the issue of Denel, we don't have financials, we don't know what is happening, but you've got a team of external auditors that you keep paying. So where are these people? What is happening with them? If you've taken any action to those to those people, including your tax advisors, all of them, where are these people? Because we know that the Eskom executive has fallen. But what about the auditors, the internal and external auditors? Are they still within Eskom? Because if they are still there, then there is no hope. There is no turning around of anything. Because those are the people that were supposed to be helping you to see, at least on quarterly reports, to say, Minister, things are not going well here. DG, things are not going well. So that you can act. But you can't wait for 12 months, and then at a later stage, millions and billions of money have been wasted, and no one seems to know. And all we can get is that, I don't know. I was not there, it's not me. We can't continue like that. If we're going to make those changes, we need to start now. And by cleaning, especially those ones that are supposed to be specialists in terms of assisting you to run the department. And this goes through all your SOEs. Denel is a mess. Transnet is still coming here. There's more that is happening. SA Express, the DG is saying there's hope. I don't believe that, but we'll see. So if I can get clarity on those few questions, especially with the board as well as these auditors, where are they now? Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson, and compliments to all of the participants in today's meeting. Chairperson, on issues that relate to government, in fact, government on state-owned enterprises, They resonate their strength from the shareholder, of which I would want the minister to indicate as to whether all of the boards are actually engaged in terms of ensuring that there is a similar way of applying policy, different maybe as they should be, but generally there should be a way of managing these entities. On the issue that relates to Denel, AG and the department solution, I'm sure that is long overdue, DG, but I would want more elaboration on the authenticity that comes from the service providers of the AG in relation to information that they source from entities. So if there is a need for one to motivate for or against an outcome, since when did that start? And who else has been involved in that kind of a scenario? Then you begin not to believe as to whether what comes from AG is a legit or is the situation, is the current situation that prevails in that particular entity. Because we'll end up here pointing fingers at individuals, but when generally the institution that give oversight over these entities is actually fed wrongly or correctly by service providers. On the vacancy rate, Chair, I must appreciate the feeling of the majority of the executive management positions in entities. But safe to say, the entities, Chairperson, are not known. And it is for the last time that I say that in this. As a member of parliament, I'm washing my hands in relation to the marketing and the profiling of the state-owned enterprises. I'm saying it for the last time. I don't care even if I don't get a response, but I am saying there is no way that the department will be quiet when the entities are not known by the public. Safcol, I only heard of Safcol when I came into parliament. But what about people that I live there, Ekaya, Ekledidi, to know about Safcol when I don't know Minagai? Ezlali Namakai. And then if they don't know these entities, how do you expect the communities to know the role of each entity? They will only know when there is something wrong to say a particular CEO, a chairperson has embezzled funds. What people know about us is the wrong, but not the normative and the ideal situation before all the wrongs are coming up. It is not right, it does not help us, and it means we do not account to the communities. On localization, DG, we have been saying that there should be a benefit as it relates to local service providers. And in that, we should be having a policy that seeks to ensure that the local service providers are put to the level of the global competitors in any field. But if there are certain policies, maybe from each entity, you should be having such kind of an indication to say, Denel, to say, Eskom, what is it that you do to ensure that you don't remain with service providers who have been here for 40 years because of incapacity, you cannot change. It's not correct. Ayiko right, Londo. Mabenziwe abantu bakuthi baparticipate at that level. Banga expect into babaziyele, abazuzizela, because the conditions that are there even for them to access funding. The benefit of abantu ba kudala belapha abanye ngamaxhego namaxhegwazana kuthi adiniwe nokwenza lento kodwa akukho umuntu wokuyenza abenziwa abantu bayenze. What do you do, DG, when you have seconded an official to an entity? There is a salary that is there. Do you regard that as a saving? Or how do you manage that salary? Because at some point you see a lot of inconsistencies. Umda act for 2 years, or the someone will act only for 2 months, immediately there is someone who is there, of which you must appreciate, because the politician should be saying he acting should not be more than 3 months. If it is 6 months, in the kakul. So, those are the issues. Issues of this minister, these inter-ministerial committees, chair. There is the chairperson's forum. It's good. It sounds good. It sounds good to an ordinary person like myself. But at the end of the day, it translates into what? These forums, they must translate into service delivery, effective service delivery. There should be inter-SOC programs. There should be reports, because these entities should not be competing against each other. They should be complementing each other in order to achieve the goal of each entity overall of the department. And all that will definitely benefit the poor, because that's where the socio-economic conditions will find a resonance that is going to uplift the plight of our people and therefore a fair participation in the economic sector of our country. And the global standing of South Africa after 24 years, Sikhululekile, it doesn't say
kufuneka kube kho abantu athi ndagqibela ukufumana itender there 17 years ago just because andinamandla, I don't have the financial muscle to get there. Sixeleleni, tell us SOCs, what do you do to ensure that you promote our people, you empower our people? There should be specific programs that are talking to that.
Thank you very much. Followed by Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies, Chairperson and Minister, for being a few minutes late. We from our side also welcome the new ESCOM board, and we will be joining you on Thursday to engage with you and with the board. I think it's very pertinent for us, for myself as a relatively new member to this committee, to just bring a sense of hope that there is, to me, there's a sense there's a new sheriff in town, and that things are being speedily cleared up. We see the new board being approached and appointed for ESCOM. We see the Commission of Inquiry. But Minister, I'd like to ask you just particularly the SIU. We engaged previously about the SIU on ESCOM, and whilst Parliament is engaging in its inquiry, maybe you can give us an idea of that process. Of course, it's very, very important, and this is something I've emphasized over the years in my capacity as a member of the Justice Committee with the Deputy President of the country, where I've urged him to institute and ensure that criminal investigation is pursued, notwithstanding the Commission of Inquiry, and we're pleased that that now has happened with the Asset Forfeiture Unit that has taken action eventually against McKinsey and the Trillion bank accounts. That we definitely welcome. But Minister, I'd like you also to, obviously you've indicated the SIU is important. Thank you for following my advice in that regard. But at the same time, we also look forward to maybe advising us about the any other criminal investigation and prosecution that is taking place following what has come to light, not only in ESCOM, and particularly ESCOM, but also in other institutions such as Transnet. We're very aware, and we'll be, as a committee, also looking into that, but issues around the locomotive contract. And Minister, I'd also like to give us an indication of progress with the shareholder management bill. Something that we are looking forward to. You indicated that during this committee's engagement with you and in your speech as well. I think that is something that is very, very important. And if I look at the minutes from last year's meeting at this time with in a similar forum, the minutes of the meeting indicate that members, and that was on the 22nd of February 2017, that a point was repeatedly made by different members, that's MPs, was that if the department was indeed fulfilling its mandate and doing what it was intended to do to address governance at the SOCs would be showing far better performances already. And I think that is an indication the members are also asking similarly this year what progress has been made to improve the situation with SOCs, particularly having regard to the risks and the important role that they can play in developmental growth for the nation, but the risks that they present to the fiscus. In my capacity as also a member of the Finance Committee, we are fully aware that those guarantees, the state guarantees to ESCOM, and that's an issue we will also be engaged with, present, if you'd like to comment on that. Then lastly, I'd just like to ask the department and maybe the minister, the role that the shareholder representative plays in ensuring that a state-owned enterprise produces its financial results timeously on time. And we know the pressure that was put on various entities, in particular ESCOM, with its financial statements being late, the ones that are due, were due by up to September 2017, they were due earlier, and it reached such a critical stage that the Johannesburg Stock Exchange threatened to stop listing the bonds of Eskom, which to me is a very, very critical situation. What is the role of the department and the shareholder representative minister to prevent that situation arising? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Followed by Honorable Nobanda.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. On the shareholder management bill, I would like to add to what Honorable Swart has just said. You know, when we came in 2014, I think it was called the shareholder, then it became the government, something like that. And almost every year, every meeting, we ask this question on this bill. And every year, every meeting, the minister will tell us that it must first go to cabinet, cabinet must approve, and then it will go where, and then it will come back, and then we will take it to the public, and then come back. Every year, it's the same story. On the 2017-18 APP, the bill, it appears there that it will be released by July or September last year, 2017. Now, if I heard the minister correctly, she said the bill is still to go to cabinet. So I'm asking myself, we came in 2014, this bill was on its way to cabinet. It's 2018, it's still on its way to cabinet. And go back and read, this bill has always been, even before when we came in. How long is this road to cabinet? And when are we reaching cabinet to come back to us for it to work? On the Presidential Review Committee, the IMC is chaired by the Deputy President. I would like to know the achievements of this interministerial committee to date. The third one, Chair, is on the department. I think the DG, if I heard the DG correctly, was saying that in one of the measures they are taking is to appoint service providers for the SOEs. Is that right? For board evaluations. So the department will do the evaluation, and then after... Sorry, Chair, through you.
Ordinarily, the board appoints the service provider to do an evaluation of themselves. But this time around, we took a decision that we will appoint the service providers who would do the board evaluation. And then those results, the minister would use to determine whether this board stays or not, or which aspects of the board is not performing well.
Just a clarity of that confusion, the questions will be responded
to. So the board evaluation will be done by the department, and then the minister will recommend which service provider, or is that what you're saying? I'm not hearing you properly.
Okay, just continue ask questions. It's going to clarify later.
The reason I'm asking, I wanted to find out if the department is going to take over whatever umsebenzi othile kufanele wenzwe yi board. Are we not taking, are they not taking irresponsibility of board to the department? And if that is the case, shouldn't we be finding ways of making sure that our boards do the work that they are supposed to do. And if they are unable to do such such functions, are there no other ways of making sure that the boards will comply? Like in the, I think you get what I'm trying to ask. And then at Alexco, when we met with the Department of Rural Development, one of the things that we agreed on in that meeting was that the department was going to meet with DPE and find a way of coming to a conclusion with this Rechtervervuild money and everything that is happening in that area. And from what I've been reading, it seems that the meeting did not materialize. My question is, Minister, did this meeting ever materialize? That is number one. Number two, how long are we going to have to always talk about this 45 million Honorable Ranto was asking if it's in the cupboard or what? Because it's also one of the things that we have, ever since we came in, we've been asking the same question. And we get different answers of what is happening with the Rechtervervuild. What is it? Is there something specific that the department should be doing or could be doing to assist that community? And if so, why are we not doing it? It's been more than 5 years now with this. I don't know whether to call it a crisis or... Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Three specific issues. The first one directs to the Minister. I would like to hear her view on SA Express as a going concern as in the current status. Secondly, since we have people here from Alex Score, I want to go to page 10 of the presentation. Can you please get it up on the board? Page 10. And the heading would be Alex Core Board Governance. The first one, the last sentence of the first point, the department's interventions has unfortunately proven to be futile in this regard. Can I have a response on this, AGM and the secretary that's been outsourced, please? Then lastly, to the DG directly, I requested in the first 6 months of 2017 a report from the DG at a meeting when they were here on the updated status of the capital expenditure program running in Saldanha Bay Harbour of Transnet and Portnet. I reminded this in the second half of 2017. I reminded the deputy DG that's been seconded a week ago about it as well. I haven't received it up to date. Can I have a response on this now? Finally, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Tseli, it's okay.
Thanks, Chair. Let me join my colleagues in welcoming the intervention that has been made by government regarding ESCO. I had quite a number of issues that I needed clarity on, but in the light of the meeting that you spoke about, maybe let me park my questions for the Thursday meeting. Three issues that I need clarity on. One is with regard to Transnet. There is an issue of the excessive pricing in port charges that I will need to be clarified on. That is under investigation by the Competition Commission. Honorable Ranto, I think Honorable Nobanda as well spoke about the Risterfeld community issue that has been outstanding for quite some time. I don't want to go back to that one because I'm equally worried about us not getting a solution to this particular aspect. Can we be briefed exactly what appears to be a challenge? Because this is one issue that has been outstanding for quite some time, as I've indicated. I'm happy, Chair, about the remuneration guide that the DG spoke about. To me, it's one step in the right direction with regard to the implementation of the Presidential Review Committee. But it's also important for us to get an overall report in terms of the progress that has been done with regard to the whole report in terms of how far are we as a department in implementing those recommendations. The shareholder management bill, that delay, I won't go back to it as well because it's one other issue that we have raised for quite some time. The last one, Chair, is the issue of consequence management for the boards that are not performing as required from the shareholder point of view. I think there's a need for us to try and tighten this particular aspect this time around. If a board says by the end of this quarter, this is what we want to have achieved, and if it does not happen, surely something needs to happen at the level of the shareholder to ensure that things go the way they're supposed to. As I've indicated, I think I'm clarified by some of the issues that have been raised by my colleagues earlier. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, members. Minister, most of our entities are on the news for wrong reasons, some of them on daily basis, and I think you are aware of that. The Eskom, Transnet, etc. Now, and most of these bad news are around in the supply chain processes that are not being followed. To me, that means the procurement policy is not being complied with. There is no compliance. If there is, there is very little of compliance being adhered to. The open tender, that has been worrying us in Eskom of the coal supply. That has been going on for 40 years with no open tender. Totally disregard the procurement policy and the supply chain processes thereof, to name the few. The other part is the risk management in these SOCs or SOEs. for me, I think we need a separate team within the boards and the SOCs. That a separate one that will focus within the risk management, focus on the mitigation of risk. Because what we are seeing every day is as a result of risk not being mitigated prior or beforehand. And until and unless we focus on the mitigation of risk, we'll always have to deal with the after effects. And the tools and mechanisms are provided by our policy. And I'm failing to understand why that is not being followed. The instability in some of the board and the companies, top management position, I'm aware that you have mentioned, or the DG have mentioned, but my point is, that should not take long time to fill in those positions, to fill up those positions. Because the instability in any organization results to whatever we are seeing that is going on in the entity. But not that because of the vacancies in boards and in the companies. Some of these shenanigans are done deliberately, because if you violate the procurement policy, it's because you want to get involved into corruption and fraud deliberately. And in this governance issues and the turnaround strategy, that this time must be implemented, because it's very easy to say we have developed a turnaround strategy, but not being implemented and being monitored. And as you go along, you keep on making assessment and evaluate that. And the reporting mechanism, I've noted that on your opening remarks and of the briefing and the DG, that you are intensifying the reporting mechanism through the quarterly meetings. But you might have to deal with that before end of the quarter, because in quarterly you have to come before the portfolio committee and report. Yours might need to be if it's not on monthly basis, bi-monthly. But in some of the SOEs, given the nature of the crisis, because some are no longer challenges, they are crises, you'll have to come closer, even more closer, as a political head and as a DG within the company, as political head with the board on frequent basis. You might not need to wait for a quarter or a bi-monthly, given the situation that of a particular a company or a SOE. The attendance of some of the SOEs, when I got debriefed by both my predecessor, the former chairperson of this portfolio committee, and the acting chairperson before my time, and also going through the BRRR report of the committee that when I joined the committee was busy with, I've observed that SA Express the report of the committee, the observation by the committee is quite negative in terms of not only them, some of them, in terms of the SOC's attendance of the PC meeting, portfolio committee meeting, and the nature of the report and the financial report, as it has been alluded by some members, in particular SA Express, not giving the financial report to the committee. And you've already mentioned the ESCOM, and that's why today they are having an announcement. And I'm saying, Minister, I would like us to come to an end. The poor attendance of the SOCs or SOEs to the portfolio committee. We will do our part in terms of issuing notices, giving them time to prepare themselves to come before the committee, and we want to have an assurance from your office that when we sent the program and followed by invitations, the SOEs are informed agently. Immediately, your office received that information. So that when they don't come to meetings, they don't make an excuse that your office did not inform them in time. As it has happened, the Transnet, one member is here, but we are aware that they said nevertheless they received written a letter that they were not informed in time, although they have a prosperous today. But we appreciate that the CEO or group C is here. And let me go back to the issue that was raised by one of the members, that some of the entities are not known by the public. I think we need to assist the company to make sure that their marketing strategy is being implemented, their publicity is done properly to market themselves, and then generally the communication strategy doesn't seem to, for all SOEs, doesn't seem to be working in portraying the SOEs on good image, their positive and success stories. We only hear and read whatever type of a newspaper that you read, your Business Day and other newspapers, your electronic media that you watch, TV and radios, really it's more of a negative. The fraud, the corruption, we want to hear that. What they are doing, the media is doing a good job to elevate that and inform us that as the members of the public, but also equally would like to see the good work done being being given and the information being given to the public through public media houses and different types of media houses, electronic and print media. When I was mentioning the SA Express, the Dinel also finances, so I think your office has already received the program for this quarter, so that yourself and the SOEs prepare yourself on those dates that you have to come to the committee. If really you are unable, we'll appreciate that at least, because we understand that the meeting takes place on Wednesdays, but at least your deputy minister to be able to attend. There's nothing we can do about the date, the Wednesday, because we understand that it's a cabinet meeting, but the parliamentary program as well, there are too many committees, hence other committees have to sit on a Wednesday. So that's the challenge that we'll face together as we go along, which is faced by a number of committees. The timelines on the shareholders management bill would like a minister to get timelines. I recall that you mentioned that you are it's subject to the approval by the cabinet, if I'm not mistaken, but we really like to get the timeline. And lastly, from me, from my side, is the resignation of a CEO in SA Express that was appointed in 2006 and resigned in 2016, if I was correct, and resigned in 2017. What are the reasons behind that resignation? Sorry, whether what is going on with the entity, isn't that because of the instability of some CEO not spending much time? Because in a year, you are still really, really learning a lot yourself in that particular company, and then suddenly you are out. There might be good reasons that he or she has to leave, but would like to get some explanation. Before we get answers and responses and clarification, I would like us to take a break for 10 minutes, a comfort break, and then when we come back, we'll resume with the responses. Thank you very much, members.